Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to be talking about chemtrails this evening. My guest this evening is Raphael O'Neill. She's a self-employed single mother. She wears many hats. She has a passion for the arts. However, she's taken a step into activism when she discovered that there was an assault going on in our skies, right before our eyes, and the search for who, what, where, and why has been for her an incredible journey into the true workings of the deeper fabric of reality, and a great opportunity at self-discovery, as she says that she's recovering from corporate-sponsored, media-induced mind control. It's my pleasure to welcome Raphael to the show. Raphael, how are you this evening?
Oh, I am fine. Thank you. I am deeply honored to be on your show, Mark, and I thank you for the opportunity to share my voice with your listeners. Hopefully, there'll be something enlightening in there for them.
Well, I'm glad you could join us. This is a topic I don't think I spend enough time on. It's a little overwhelming, I think, and sometimes almost a little depressed. When I was reading your bio there, you mentioned that you kind of felt like you used to be under mind control.
Well, there's different layers of mind control, and some of it is, there's a very basic layer of mind control, and it's completely media induced. It's the reality that we get from the media, from our TV shows, from our talk shows, from our news shows, whether it's left or right. The framework within which we're kept, and allowed rhetoric, and the language. You know, why do people, you know, ad nauseum can go on about NASA forever, but when it comes to climate engineering history, they're left completely uninformed, for the most part, unless someone, you know, got their curiosity piqued and decided to look into it for themselves. But it's not something that's shared in mainstream rhetoric, and then it's still present in the history. It's just right there hiding in plain sight. And I like to joke around with how I spell plain, but it's much more than planes involving contrails, or there's a lot of different elements to the issue of climate engineering, and everything is actually being engineered right now. You know, our weather, our food, our sentiment, our polarization, and, you know, our weather is a part of that. Our immune system is being redesigned with vaccines. I mean, everything is up for grabs, and the mind is the ultimate battlefield, I believe. That's why, you know, you start talking to people about climate engineering or contrails or chemtrails and their eyes glaze over because it's just too much. Their mind, their reality does not include the language to even categorize that.
We're getting a little distortion from your cell phone. Are you able to call a number via Skype?
Well, how about this? Because I took it off of the speakerphone. Is this better?
That's a little better. But now we're going to irradiate your brain, right, with microwave.
Well, you know what? It's for a worthwhile cause, so I'm going to bite the bullet for the gang.
Jeez. Well, feel free to switch back over to speaker if you feel a headache coming on or anything like that.
Okay, I appreciate that. You understand why I do put the speaker phone on. But, yeah, I'm sorry, the other phone is having a problem charging. But hopefully this works.
You know, I remember starting in the mid-1990s, I began to see contrails that would persist. And contrails, I guess primarily, are water in the form of ice crystals. However, sometimes these contrails would come from lower flying aircraft. And typically, contrails would only come from higher flying aircraft where water vapor can form in ice crystals. And one thing I've noticed over the past 20 or more years is that we have a sky that's less and less blue. And we used to have this very beautiful blue sky. However, more often than not now, we just see this white haze. And there's something going on with the earth that's very horrible. And today, planes are starting to leave clouds in the sky. And these clouds will stay around for hours and even days. And NASA even admits that cirrus clouds can be formed by contrails from aircraft engine exhaust. And I'd like
to have a name for it. It's jet cirrus, right? That's the name that they recategorized all the clouds a few years back, because there used to be eight kinds of clouds. You know, the clouds that you see in the old paintings, that the clouds we see now, we have no historical precedence, you know, in paintings before that are a few hundred years old. I mean, this is a new phenomena we're seeing, absolutely. And there are changes to our atmosphere, and I'm sure some of it is being credited to CO2, but the amount of climate engineering that is going on, the amount that it is downplayed, the absence of it in the language of the layman, and of its relevance and significance in the climate change conversation. I mean, how can you talk about climate change without acknowledging climate engineering? Climate changing technologies, right? It has to be a part of it in the equation. And you have NASA. I sent you, I don't know if you saw it on your email, but a quote from NASA, that from their paper, The Importance of Understanding Clouds, they wrote out in 2007, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Sometimes I don't commit everything to memory, but I do have access to a lot of information. It's just hard sometimes for me to pinpoint exactly dates. But they say even small changes in the abundance or location of clouds could change the climate more than the anticipated changes caused by greenhouse gases, human-produced aerosols, or other factors associated with global change.
I have a very interesting clip that I want to play. It's something that really opened my eyes. This is John P. Holdren, Obama's science advisor, talking about chemtrails. Because I know a lot of people still do not think this is a real phenomena. So bear with me just a second, and I'll get this clip going here.
Is that we have to keep geoengineering on the table. We have to look at it very carefully because we might get desperate enough to want to use it. The danger, of course, with geoengineering is one I was referring to a moment ago. We don't understand the system well enough to predict its responses in detail, and that means there's always a danger if you try to engineer the system on a large scale that you will do something that has side effects that are worse than the dimension of the problem you're trying to cure with the geoengineering in the first place. There are a variety of schemes that have been discussed for geoengineering. A classic example is injecting reflecting particles into Earth orbit that would deflect some of the sunlight that would otherwise be warming the Earth, and in that way try to produce a cooling effect to offset the heating effect of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. Current estimates are that that would be very expensive, that it would be problematic from the standpoint of injecting things into orbit that our other orbiting space assets would have trouble with. And it doesn't solve the whole problem because, for example, it does nothing about the absorption of some of the excess carbon dioxide in the surface layer of the ocean, which is acidifying the ocean and posing a potential threat to ocean creatures that form shells or skeletons out of calcium carbonate.
Okay, that to me indicates that the whole phenomena is real. Can you comment, Raphael?
Well, they're stating that they want to use it. They're stating, of course, it's not without its dangers, but it might be a necessary evil. And in fact, one David Caldera calls it like a chemotherapy. You know, you might end up killing some of the good cells, but you hope you kill off the bad cells, enough of the bad cells for it to matter. With the good cells, I mean, the bad cells is the global warming. You know what the good cells are? The good cells are the cost to human life and the percentage of people that will get sick from the metal poisoning of the planet, which is actually what we're seeing now. We're seeing heavy metal toxicity in people that it's a big silent epidemic. People don't know, but do a hair analysis test. I challenge your listeners because it's very interesting. We found in my son like 7 times the average uranium. His lead, of course, was off the charts. His aluminum, arsenic, cadmium, barium, strontium, actually everything I had that I birthed into him. So I gave him like half of my uranium load. What is 7 times the average uranium? I don't know. But if I hadn't out of pocket done a hair analysis test, my doctor never would have found it. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the vaccine thing, but you add vaccines to that equation, well, you explain a lot of your increased autism because you're just mixing a chemical cocktail with people. So one of the things that people are deficient in right now is vitamin D. That's a fact. Most people, 9 out of 10 people, probably 99 out of 100 people are vitamin D deficient. It's an epidemic. And chemtrails, what they do is they do block out the vitamin D, although you do get exposed to more of the ultraviolet radiation, the X-rays and all that, because you're creating holes in the ozone. And there's studies about geoengineering. You know, I mean, they admit it, they've studied it. I mean, what does it, them studying it look like? But we've been seeing it. The World Meteorological Organization said in 2007 that there has been a decrease in weather modification research and a tendency to go in directly into operational projects in recent years, and that was back in 2007 as well. We have a very, very long history of weather modification that goes back well over 100 years, and it's documented, and that could take an entirety of the show. You know, but you know, most people have no idea, and we weaponized weather back in Vietnam. We did that, and Congress didn't find out about it for 10 years.
Jeez.
So, you know, when people say, well, we would know if there was something that was going on about, well, would we? The people are sworn to secrecy. I mean, whistleblowers are not really given, if you're in the military, they own your ass. You know, and you can't really blow a whistle without endangering everyone in your family and yourself as well. But we're starting to get, you know, more.
There, I don't know if you've heard of the CIA director, John Brennan, who's also admitted to chemtrail use. He uses the term stratospheric aerosol injection. Have you heard that term?
I've heard of that term, and I've documented that. So the thing is, there's actually a history of them desiring global warming. Veterans Today covers it with Harold Save, who writes the article on the history, the desired history of global warming, and how it was a good idea because then corporations could get to the Arctic reserves and it would make for better weather. And I mean, some of the proposals were absurd, but it's pretty extensive, the history of desired global warming. So actually, allowing a warming to affect the Arctic, you know, on one level could be catastrophic for the tree huggers and the people who are thinking rationally, but the psychopaths who are after more power, more resources, and looking to, I mean, there's the thing with the chemtrails and climate engineering, chemtrails is very specific and climate engineering encompasses a lot more than that because there's an electromagnetic component, there's a microwave aspect, there's pulsed frequency. people talk about HARP, but not a lot of people realize NEXRAD also is caught on radar, stimulating clouds and tornado creation. And I just discovered another aspect of climate engineering that blows my mind, but it's, we're seeing it on radar. Synchronized, timed, massive water release by power plants, which shows that this is more than just an Air Force thing. This involves, power, full spectrum dominance, basically. And we see that they lay chemicals through the planes, and we know they're not persistent contrails because my own team did this. There are conditions that create persistent contrails. The military needs to monitor that when they go on missions. So they created the Appleman chart, which lets you know X amount of humidity, X amount of heat, and you need to have a persistent contrail. And so you can check the Appleman chart at different altitudes and find out what the humidity and temperature were at a certain time at the sounding board. And we checked both sounding boards around the planes and the contrail that we saw that we documented, and we showed that the conditions did not yield any kind of persistent contrails, which do occur on very rare occasions. And we've been seeing these basically atmosphere and weather coming out of planes. And when we call it chemtrails, we're told we're crazy tin hat wearing conspiracy theorists that they're just persistent contrails. But the fact is, these persistent contrails, and that it's normal for them to form jet cirrus and high altitude clouds. But we never hear the meteorologist say, today's overcast weather came out of planes and it's all jet cirrus. They don't talk about that. They talk about the overcast sky. So what I'm doing now is starting a conversation, or trying to, for the last year, I've been trying to reach my local meteorologist by mail, by phone. And I almost cornered her, but she did say it was controversial, which I think is a very good reason to talk about it. I mean, since when does the news media outlet not like controversy? They're talking about the controversy, whether CO2 is real or not. And I'm not negating CO2. I'm saying, if you think CO2 is a problem, what about artificially created man-made clouds? And there's another study talking about aerosols being a driving factor in the North American warming and being a bigger factor than CO2. And if we don't address aerosols, we're not going to have any, very little effect with whatever we do with CO2. So I think the left and the right are fighting each other, but they're both missing it. Like, an important key to the conversation is, like, yes, global warming, climate change is real, and it's man-made, but it's deliberate, especially. And there's other things we're doing to this planet, which is horrible. Yeah, I mean, with fracking and there's, clear-cutting land and the desertification of places and not farming in a way that makes sense, where you just return to the earth. I mean, there's a lot of things that we're doing that are horrible for, sustaining an ecosystem. And climate engineering has got to be the single worst thing we could be doing, because it's exploiting the weather. It's not beg them to, I challenge the powers that be to come up forward and explain to me why we need to do this. Because let me tell you, during the Cold War, people thought that the Russians and the Americans were not talking to each other, but they were blowing nukes up in the upper atmosphere together. For whatever reasons, that could be disputed. But the fact is, we do not have a pristine atmosphere. Some people say all the planets are warming in the solar system. That's a possibility as well. The fact is also, we don't know how many nukes were blown up there, how much radiation is coming from Fukushima. There are a lot of factors. But the thing is, climate engineering, geoengineering cannot be a good idea, because even if it was just a story of CO2, how is sending more planes going to help that? Because it's a lot of planes ejecting CO2. And at the very least, what they're not saying, and what they all know and wink-wink at each other in the aviation industry, is that jet fuel is a little dirty. But it's not like, conspiratorially, induced, just a little dirty by nature. Well, I mean, you could see Kristen, I forget her name, the whistleblower for the Air Force, whose job it was to environmentally monitor the Megan, Kristen, that's right. And she talks about, even at her level, how hard it is to, it's really easy for you not to be taking inventory. Let me tell you, I had not addressed the Katrina issue, and on my next show, I found a veteran who delivered 5,226 body bags to New Orleans 11 days. Well, no, 11 days before he was ordered, 8 days before Katrina made landfall, he delivered it to New Orleans, and it was told with 210% accuracy that New Orleans was going to be hit by a hurricane. Now, how did they know that when everybody I knew didn't even start talking about it until 3 days before? Some people might have had a keen eye 5 days out when it came into the Gulf. How did they know? Now, whether they were driving it or whether they have better prediction models than we get access to, it was criminal that they not only didn't prepare us for it, but they let us rot. And on a Tuesday when I left New Orleans, I was wondering why my friends were still on the roof when we can get help halfway across the world in 2 days when there's a disaster or an earthquake, but we can't freaking find a convention center. You would have thought they would have looked it up 11 days before. And, I mean, it's a very personal story for me because, that's where my heart got broken, originally. But I didn't really find out about climate engineering till later. And it's not going away. I would like to forget about it. But there's so much, the more I research, the more I see, and the more I think it's an important element of the climate change conversation, and it's lacking. And so my job is to hold a feet to the fire, and I'm just starting. I'm a single self-employed mom. I'm just doing the best I can on my free time to move the ball forward. I wrote a children's chemtrail book called Funny Clouds, A Chemtrail Tale. It's very controversial. But I wrote it for the parents who know about this truth and who didn't want to lie to their children, and to counter some of the propaganda that normalizes the contrails or normal clouds. But nobody is talking about the normalcy. So we have some demands, some undebunkable questions we want to ask the official community. But the climate change conversation is kind of closed, as we saw in Paris. Did you see that picture with all the shoes left behind? In the climate talks?
No.
It was a protest that the climate, that people weren't allowed any close enough to really protest close to it because of the Paris bombings, which conveniently happened just a few weeks before. So it created a security zone where they had a right to keep the people from the most important conference there was to be. And we knew people that were climate engineering activists that went to it, the climate conference earlier in spring, but then when it came to go into the fall, they couldn't go to it. You couldn't get close to it. You can't enter the conversation. It's a conversation that's too important. Now, this is where it pushes with the world government agenda, and I don't know if your listeners or listeners are familiar with the New World Order. It's kind of a basic 101. People who think it's a theory are not informed on history. We can read through some quotes if you care to, but I mean it's a very great way to create a weather emergency which is too great for individuals to vote on, right? It's not for individual states. We're trying to take away the sovereignty of the state and turn people into city states, turn nations into city states in a global community, in a global voice, which takes the power away from the individual and centralizes power, which is what we're in the middle of, centralization of power. Even if there seems to be some fighting between Russia and America and whatever, China's always up, the weather is a fantastic tool to push us into all sorts of necessary draconian laws that benefit world government elite powers that decide matters of national issues behind closed doors, which is should be illegal. I don't know. They change the laws, so who knows what's legal. I don't want to steer it off too far. We could go in any direction. I can give you history. I can give you quotes
Raphael, I think the next show we'll definitely have to do Skype. We're getting a lot of distortion, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably my fault. We can pre-record. And let's do that next time because
I can actually try calling in on my phone, which I think will be a little better. Now it's charged enough.
Okay, let's try that because.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, go ahead and do that. I'll wait here, and if you want to find Raphael's interesting YouTube, I'm going to put this in the chat room. She has some fantastic YouTube. Her YouTube channel is Nola Butterfly, and she does these great, great videos about chemtrails. And her show she calls Beyond the Veil. And I just put that in the chat room so you guys can see that. And what we'll probably do is I think it might be just better to record on Skype in the future, because what I'm hearing is a little feedback from her cell phone. And I have a call in. Let's see if this is her or not. 504, is this Raphael?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound better.
Oh, good. This is my phone now that it's got some battery.
It's like day and night.
Beautiful.
That's fantastic. I was just telling everyone about your YouTube channel. And tell us a little bit about your show, Beyond the Veil.
Well, this was a great opportunity to kind of like liberate myself by not repeating myself, but sharing some of this research and insight I have onto, just as a layman, like what I've discovered and how I put the pieces together. And I think it's important to do your own research too, because there's a lot of really big names in the chemtrail movement, and I have a lot of respect and honor for all of them. Some of them, though, I mean, they do keep the conversation away from other parts of the conversation, and I'm not going to be pulling apart anybody or anything. And I think it's important. I wanted to have a show that was going to voice all the different aspects of climate engineering and all the different there's just so much, from the history to the applications to documenting how it's being used right now. I mean, look after you, we have the Louisiana flood yet again. We're documenting artificially created weather. And it's not just, me or one other guy. It's a whole bunch of anybody can do it. You can do it too. And next time there's a weather event, check it, pull up the radar, see what you can screen capture and, share, upload and share. This is like a people's thing. It's not conspiracy theorists. This is making conspiracy theorists, because people are seeing the craziest things in front of their eyes, and they're told it's some internet hoax. So it's like, internet hoax has taken over my sky. It's ridiculous.
Well, let me throw something in here, because that is really important, because people can go right outside and they can see this with their own eyes. Yet this is one topic that has a hard time getting traction, which this is where mind control comes in. And
this
I think
is where mind.
So much of our public is so mind controlled that they literally cannot think for themselves. They're waiting to find out what the official story is, and then they'll just parrot whatever that is. It's like Zbigniew Brzezinski said, soon the public will look to the media for all of their opinions. Can you comment?
Right. And the CIA director said, I've got the direct name and all that in here somewhere else, but we'll know our mission is accomplished when everything the American public believes is wrong. So I'm like, mission accomplished. Now what? Because it is so deep. But there's a lot of people waking up as well. And that is, for as long as the internet remains free, that is our best hope. We have so much access to information. We can really, in the last 5 years, I was able to just, more than quadruple my body of knowledge. Say what you want about the internet, but you've got everything on there.
The internet is now under control of the United Nations, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that happened.
Exactly. But don't worry, they'll be making sure nobody abuses it, right? Right.
It's like Hillary says, but, Breitbart has no right to exist.
Oh, yeah. Does she? Okay. I've so disengaged now from the partisan talk. They're both hilarious and frightening at the same time. it's the first time where I decided I'm not voting. And I used to think not voting is throwing away your vote. I used to vote third party or whatever, throw a monkey wrench into it. But I am no longer granting my permission or my endorsement of the system that is completely corrupt, this game. You only get the two choices that they want you to have, and then they rig the polls the way that, you know, the electronic voting booths, the way they need to get their man in or woman in or whoever is still holding up when, you know, the bell rings. I really don't think, I mean, even though they seem like so different, I mean, they still are related, aren't they? All we get are the bloodlines that make it to the runoff. You know about that, right?
Do you think the chemtrail program is a world government program?
Well, when we documented our chemtrail that our contrail that did persisted, even though there were no conditions that should have yielded a persistent contrail, we also checked Flight Tracker, and it was not a commercial airline. And it could be military, and we thought that, but you know what, on second thought, they actually have a law that I haven't looked up yet that allows for flyover over American space that is not regulated by the commercial airlines, and it's not military, and it could be UN, or it could even be other countries given permission, and so it's hard to tell who is doing this program, but it is, if it is deemed too important for sovereign states to rule upon, it's been going on. But the thing is, we've been seeing it's going, like, okay, you've got the Smithsonian Institute saying maybe contrail formation is creating this inadvertent geoengineering. Did you catch that? Like, duh, we've been talking about this for years, but you called us nuts. We're seeing geoengineering going on. Oh, we've been saying it. They're like, oh, but now it's inadvertent, so it's okay. Well, we need to talk about it, don't we?
Well, if they're doing geoengineering, it seems like they're engineering the Earth for something that isn't us.
Well, then you've got the Morgellons thing component, right?
Yeah.
That's one aspect of the chemtrail issue that I find seriously lacking in some of the bigger advocates of the issue. And I personally know a few people with Morgellons that they got in three different cities in two different countries, and three of them know that they got it from touching funny fallout. One got caught in some funny rain, two touched funny fallout. And, that little fibers that look like spider webs.
Yes, I've seen that right out here.
Land up on the-
right out here where I live. Some mornings I've seen that where it's just, you know, I got 2 acres here and it's just covered with these tiny little, looks like little spider webs, doesn't it?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't get too close to those personally.
I was living
in fear of them, but let me tell you what I learned, because there's no cure to them that we know, but I heard, since they are electronic, they're a synthetic, self-replicating synthetic life form. They don't exist in nature. They cross different species' genomes. I don't know, like, what, but they cross the boundaries of nature. Definitely artificially induced and created, and we have patents for them as well. But they're these fibers that come out of people's skin, and the CDC refuses to call them anything but crazy. They don't recognize the disease. And you got Joni Mitchell, who's a sufferer from that as well, and she's threatening to come out and be an advocate for the issue, but right now she's trying to tie up loose ends in her career. But it's a very debilitating disorder. I mean, you have these fibers coming out of your skin, and you just feel this system living within you that's kind of this intelligent life form that wants to live and that, you know, takes over your own body. But there's no medicine that can cure it. The biological stuff, I mean, some people get help eating an organic life and taking certain herbs, keeping their immune system well. Some people's Morgellons get activated by the smart meters in their home. One way I heard to neutralize it, and I haven't had anybody try it yet, but it was through negative charge, through magnets, using negative charge of magnets. You can zap the Morgellons, like electronically, since they're positively charged creatures. You zap them with some negative charge, and supposedly that inactivates them. That sounds wonderful. I hope it's true. So if somebody wants to try it and let us know, we'd be thrilled to know.
Gosh, we
but we're dealing with a weird. Some people think there's a transgenic agenda, and there's a history of eugenics in this country. Most people don't realize eugenics started in America, and then the Germans made it unpopular by involving human experimentation, which we thought stopped with the Nazis. But you know, few people realize that we actually, after the war, invited the Nazis over. But you know, so that the other countries wouldn't have them, and we absorbed them into our population, including the rocket scientist of the Nazi rocket scientist that Hitler had, that had worked on various programs from rocket ships to maybe UFOs, you know, and they came to the States, and these people had also done mind control experiments, and those mind control experiments didn't end in Germany. People think the Germans lost the war. They did, but the Nazis didn't. They just relocated to different parts of the world, and they infiltrated. They created NASA, sprung out of the remains of that. And I even have an ex-boyfriend who survived the Illuminati, whose father came over during Project Paperclip. He was a young Nazi, and he became a major at Lachlan Air Force Base, and married my ex-boyfriend's mom, who was a Project Monarch, a sex slave programmed, you know, offspring from Nazi experimentation, where they split the personality, creating different alters, and she came from a Jesuit Masonic family that was satanic, which is a really weird thing. But people disconnect at that point, you know, when you say that. But Satanism is real, and it does exist in this country and in the world today in different forms, different branches of it. But human sacrifice goes on in America. Like the scene Eyes Wide Shut, you know, not Stanley Kubrick.
You brought up several very interesting topics there in a row, and one that was Morgellons, and you said that Morgellons was a synthetic, self-replicating life form?
Yes.
That's stunning. So they're spraying these synthetic, self-replicating life forms into the sky, and then they fall on the earth. And when people sometimes touch these, they'll go into their skin and then reproduce. And we're seeing, you know, you've seen people with these pictures of Morgellons where they have these, like, it almost looks like wires sticking out of their skin.
It's horrific. Yeah.
My God. That's
I think I would go out of my mind. I mean, I've been trying to, like, wrap my head around it because it's frightens me so much so when it happens, you know, I don't worry about it, or I've already dealt with it. But it's some people have managed their symptoms and they're symptom free. I don't know of anyone who's cured it yet, but I'm looking for someone who, you know, to try this negative charge cure. I once thought I saw something really weird that photographed weird. I've got a picture of it. Some people say they also feel it, like an attraction to electricity. These things will respond with that. Some people pull them out of their hair or their head, and they see it respond weird to electricity. But I saw something weird on the wire one time, and I'm not that I'm paranoid. I'm always being a skeptic to my own paranoia, you know. I'm like, okay, Raphael, are you seeing something? But I got zapped by a little wire that looked like a little hair, and you know, I took a picture of it, and it had weird lights in it, like almost like a quasi crystal. And when I burnt it, it was residue that was left on the. It didn't quite burn the same way, and it was weird because I felt electricity going around my leg like a sleeve, almost like a network, a neural sleeve network of electricity was zapping me. And I got some magnets out, and I bent, you know, rubbed around it, and I felt better. So I don't know if I was just going crazy or, but. The thing is, some people believe we all have it, but other people are getting, bodies are refusing it. And there's Sophia Smallstorm does a wonderful presentation I highly recommend, and I may not get the name of it, but it's about chemtrails and nanotechnology and the synthetic agenda. It's fascinating. There's a lot. They talk about it too. They talk about casting out little nano, you know, sensors to go out and to read the entirety of the air, the atmosphere. They'll be able to read it better with the millions of little sensors that are so small. It doesn't matter when they land, but you know, when they're small, the nano goes through your blood, through your cells, through the blood-brain barrier. I mean, there's no way you can filter it out, but you can. Get it out if you're aware of it in your cleansing. You got to be cleansing. That's the thing. We're swimming in a sea of chemicals. So if we're not cleansing, we are building on a lot of questionable stuff, and who knows what all is in our cocktail.
So the elite, they've created a synthetic life form that almost acts like a parasite. And they're literally spraying the world with this. Have you
done
any?
That doesn't mean that it's all the same cocktail, right? It's different cocktails. Some people say when this was one woman who worked for an airline. She was a flight attendant who did some whistleblowing, and she says that countries that were refusing Monsanto, for instance, might get sprayed with some of these fibers all of a sudden, and you know, then people get sick with Morgellons in the area. It's kind of like this. So, I mean, was that rumors? Is that true? This was in somewhere in the Soviet Republic, former Soviet Republic. But there's a quote I'd like to read from the Secretary of Defense, William Cohen. He says, okay. This was in 1997. Others are engaging even in an eco type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. Okay, this was the Secretary of Defense of the United States of America, William Cohen, talking about weather warfare and others' ability to use that technology. Now, I beg you to contemplate the absurdity of that statement for a second, because this is the Secretary of Defense of the largest industrial military complex in the universe. We have more men in more countries than all the other countries put together. I mean, we have a ridiculous amount of technology and military practice and use and budget, endless budget. So is there a possibility that this applies to us as well? Probably even more so than other people. Maybe Russia has kept up because, you know, Tesla did share some of his notes amongst the nations, because he realized that the powers that be don't have our best interest in mind. And I just want to say something, because I do want to say the powers that be. It's not just a statement on the banking elite. It's also the power companies, because at the very beginning, the bankers decided what kind of electricity we were going to have, right? When Tesla said, you know, here's this free energy machine, and then who was it, the banker that said, well, where do I put the meter on it? Then he says, well, there's no meter. It's free energy. And so they canned it. And we went to, was it AC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the world has been plugged in ever since and playing this game of limited resources, whereas it doesn't mean that they didn't play with this technology that they had, whatever they had. Of course they did. I mean, that's just what man do. Man explores all of his stuff. And Tesla yeah, I mean, his the electromagnetic frequency, Tesla said, electric power is everywhere present and in limited quantities and can drive the world's machinery without the need of coal, oil, gas, or any of the other common fuels. And right now, what I learned by studying the American the World Meteorological Organization reports, they straight up say there's no weather modification going on in these years in America. And yet in the same report, they'll tell you that there's been 50 years of weather modification and cloud seeding from the hydrological companies, continuous in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that's not included in the reporting. Hydrological, you want to talk about the drought in the West Coast? 50 years of seeding clouds? Well, there were complaints about cloud seeding back in the 70s. I've got a Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, United States Senate document from 1978. This is after the weaponization of war. And they're talking about the federal government has been involved for over 30 years in a number of aspects of weather modification through activities of both the Congress and the executive branch. Since 1947, weather modification bills pertaining to research, support, operations, policy studies, regulations, liabilities, activity reporting, establishment of panels and committees, and international concerns have been introduced in the Congress. Now, where is the public in any of this knowledge? They go on to say also that the following evils supposedly brought on by weather modifications were cataloged. There were complaints back then. The cloud seeding, one, has been responsible for the great five-year drought in the northeast United States. Two, this was in 1978, people were complaining about cloud seeding. And now when we mention chemtrails, they're like, oh, cloud seeding? Oh, that's just a little something. It's not a lot. It doesn't happen, and it's not that big a deal. What's always been a big deal? It's a huge liability issue to take the cloud and the rain from over here and put it over there. There's always someone who's going to be pissed off about it. There is, and they know that. So no one wants a liability responsibility.
But yet there are like 60 companies that are doing this, right?
Yeah, that we know of, right. I mean, there's different levels from cloud seeding to, you know, to geoengineering, to, you know, covert. I mean, sometimes there's local states and people want to just bring some rain on the farm, you know. They do have good interest because they've got a drought going on, you know. So there's – and the problem is the geoengineers don't want the small guy to have access to this technology. That's why the CFR has done workshops on, how to design unilateral geoengineering, where one person's hand is on the remote control and not two or three people. And in fact, that geoengineering was so easy that the challenge would be to make it look more difficult so that more less people wouldn't do it. And this, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I never thought I'd be having this conversation 5 years ago. You know, it's unreal.
Okay.
And it's most people can't fathom that the future has passed them up, but the future is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called cognitive dissonance. Yeah.
Yes, that is the perfect way to put it. You know, and sometimes I have to think of myself and I think, you know, because I do this radio show, do I do it because I want to inflict people with cognitive dissonance? Do I have some kind of weird enjoyment from doing that? I don't know.
I believe information is shock resistance. And at first, most people don't want to get in touch with the pissed off side of accepting the truth in its fucked up entirety. Excuse my French. I'm sorry. But excuse me. People, it's just there's an anger. And if you don't, the truth will set you free. But first, it's going to piss you off. And most people are afraid of intense emotion and of things that are a little bit greater than what they can control. But the thing is, not acknowledging this, not wrapping our heads around what we've been left out of, is not going to help us. So we need a finer strength. And this is a perfect, if you can find your strength in this, I think it does mirror out in other parts of your life. If you can be strong in the truth, it does incredible things for the other aspects of your life and your reality. And the first thing you do is you liberate yourself from the lies, and then you're really free to make a more empowered choice. Because what am I going to do, vote for carbon taxation when I know that I ain't going to do, you know, that's not the issue, the real issues, or at least discuss it, huh? Why is there's nothing on I'm not willing to talk about that's important.
Have you studied global dimming at all? Are we starting to experience global dimming from these chemtrails?
Well, I heard somewhere that astrological reading of the stars by the layman will be impossible by 2025. Is that right?
Really?
Something
oh
like that.
Goodness.
Look, fact check that. But in the coming years, in my lifetime, and definitely in my son's lifetime, I take pictures of that when I fly in planes all the time. Do you see that layer of haze that just covers the earth? Unless there's a front that comes through and just blows it through, and then the spray boys come out and they lay their little goo again.
I'm in a pretty good place here. It's not real bad. It's not like on the West Coast. I think it's really horrific on the West Coast. Now, you're in Louisiana, right?
Yeah, we see a lot of it, too. And there's different ways to create these clouds. People are seeing Ken bombs. Other people are citing the massive water vapor releases from different industry and power plants as feeding moisture into the atmosphere. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I learned about this theory and other people finding it on the radar. And then I was watching Zootopia, Disney Zootopia. Okay, talk about mind control. Disney, who was a Nazi sympathizer and pedophile who would take the kids down into the basement in the morning and, you know, entertain them or himself, I'm not sure. But then, you know, still the purveyor of propaganda to this day, and silly me letting Lucas watch his Zootopia. But in it, I see the little bunny gets to go into this perfect world, Zootopia, and she gets to be a cop because in the future, anyone can be anything they want. And it's kind of the promise of the New World Order. It's very utopian, you know, very individualist, supposedly. While the human rights go down, individual rights go up. It's kind of a weird irony. But in this Zootopia, she's going through the different worlds, and they climatize each one. So there's the desert, and then she goes through this mountain, and then poof, these power plants go off, these things that look like powder plants. I call them powder plants, I guess. Releasing massive water vapor. And so it's like, okay, the media is the great distributor of ideas. I mean, if your listeners are not familiar with Edward Bernays, I recommend they look him up. He's the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who is the founder of consumerism. He got a generation of women to smoke by taking the prettiest young ladies after a rally for women's rights to vote, got them to line up and to light their cigarettes, their torches of liberty. So in that image of women lighting their torches of liberty, I myself viewed smoking for years as a symbol of freedom and liberty to this day. I mean, I've freed myself from that. So the layers of mind control are from the most benign to the most sinister, you know, what goes on in Project, you know, MK Ultra, how they can program people to be triggered later on down the road.
Well, I hate to say this, and I can't believe I'm saying it, but we're almost out of time. Next show, we're going to record, we're going to pre-record, we're going to do it on Skype, and then we'll be able to hear it, and it'll be perfectly clear. We've got about 5 minutes left, so please tell people again about your website and your books, and get a last word in tonight. Thanks for coming on. It's been great.
Oh, my God. Thank you for the opportunity to wax poetic about the matters of my heart. My children's book, which had 7 bad reviews before I sold the first one, because that's how the trolls are watching. Like, supposedly people who don't believe in chemtrails watch my website, my Facebook, and as soon as I said I created a book, they attacked it before the book came out. But then it became a war of, you know, people who appreciated it and then deniers and the believers, those who know whether modification is real, I think have won out. But you can get a copy on Amazon. It's Funny Clouds, A Chemtrail Tale. I also have it on Facebook, Funny Clouds Tale. You can find me there. Also, Chemtrail Awareness Now NOLA is a Facebook page. And I really like Chemtrail Awareness Now NOLA because that's really the most important thing people can do is, first of all, become aware of the issue. Stop fighting it. Stop making it hard for the others who are trying to come forth with this information and allow for this reality to hit you and allow for it to spread in your vocabulary to your friends and family and loved ones. And another page is Climate. It's a Facebook page. Climate Change Concerned Citizens, because we have some very deliberate questions we're trying to get meteorologists or the scientific community to acknowledge, and it's where we'll be documenting that in our concerns with the climate engineering not being a part of the discussion of climate change. So we're trying to pierce the silence and go beyond the veil. And that's another thing. I've got the podcast once a month. You can Google Raphael and Beyond the Veil. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4. You won't want to miss number 5. We have a Katrina witness who delivered the body bags to New Orleans. So you won't want to miss that. That's pretty groundbreaking, whistleblowing. For me, it's deeply as a survivor of climate engineering, and we all are getting to be survivors of climate engineering. So my heart and condolences go out to all the victims of late. And information is shock resistance. So get strong in the truth. Come on in. The water's fine. Thanks again.
Thank you, Raphael. And I hope we chat again real soon. Thanks for coming on tonight. See you later.
Thank you. God bless.